And so all of this just reminds us that he voluntarily became one of us, took on flesh, and that motivates us. See, when we realize, listen to me, when we really realize, not in our intellect, but in our spirit, that God Almighty took on our flesh to save us. Do you really? Really took on every single limitation that we have. Really got tired. Really wept. Really experienced physical hunger. Really experienced the humiliation of being crucified nude. That should motivate us to come out from among them and be separate. To want to partake of His perfect humanity. You say, but Floyd, how can I do that? By walking in the Spirit. By just expecting Jesus to produce that in your life and yielding. Not by trying, but by yielding. Not by actively fighting to be like Christ, but by surrendering and letting Christ be Himself in us. You can't be like Christ by trying to be. That's what you're just saying is, Jesus, you're not very much better than I am. With just a little effort, I can be like God. No, you can't. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble, and that's what got Satan in trouble, trying to be like God. Now, if anyone is going to be like God, it's going to have to be God making us back into the image of God. Our part, Doug, yield. Surrender. Expect the Holy Spirit to produce it in you. That's called faith. We fake it. You expect God to do it. God, it's your day. I give up. I surrender. You just do it today. And expect Him to do it. That's called faith. And you just walk that day in faith. I'm trying to show you that Christianity, see, the trouble with that is that's not a formula. And everybody wants a formula. If I only would give you 7 points to walk in the Spirit, you'd love it. That's what you really want. Because, see, that's an abstract thought for you. And you want me to give you 7 points. But that would be bondage and legalism. I'd be putting you back under a 7-point law instead of a 10-point law. And what I really want you to do, and what God wants me to do, and what He wants you to do, is for us to just let His life flow through us. To be holy as He is holy. So that just like His life was that sweet odor of frankincense that they put on the meal offering, our life will be that to the Lord, because it'll be the odor of Christ. It's His aroma. Because it's His life. Your new life is the life of Christ. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live. Oh, this new life, it isn't me. It's the life of Christ. And this new life I live by the faith of Christ. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, God, don't you understand? Jesus is the real man. He's the man that God always wanted us to be. Like Adam started out. There hadn't been a real man since Adam except Christ. We're not in the image of God. Our soul and our bodies are not yet made back. But He's working on it. And that's Jesus as our meal offering. Then finale, Jesus as the peace offering. You remember Luke 2:14, at Jesus' birth, what did the angels say? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Listen to me, that does not say, and I want to tell you, you've got a wrong translation, it does not say peace to men of goodwill. That ain't what God offers. God offers peace and goodwill to men. Not to men of goodwill. There aren't any men with goodwill, except when we're walking in the Spirit. That Jesus coming was peace to all men that would receive Him. Not to men with goodwill. To everybody. You remember in John chapter 6, we read it, verses 53 through 63, that God in the peace offering wanted us to take Jesus and His words as the true meat and the true drink into us. And all the other offerings were pointing to this because the little guy could not eat any of the food of the first four offerings we mentioned. You didn't get to eat any of it because we were to blame for all of that. It was because of our sin that He had to become the sin offering. We're not going to get to eat of that. It was because of our sins that He became the trespass offering. We're not going to get to eat. There's no reward for our sins. We can't eat that. There was no reward for us. Because Jesus had to be totally consumed as a burnt offering. We didn't get to eat. We, the little sinner, didn't get to eat of the meal offering. It was to remind us of His perfections. But all of that was done to bring us to the finale, where God would hope that of our own free will, we wanted to experience Him as our peace offering. Now, He already is your peace offering, but are you experiencing it? Well, you can't unless you understand some of these others, that He forgot it, that He blotted it out, and ministers to us the word forgetfulness. And so we get a portion of this one, because it's God's nature that brings inner peace. We're going to feed in this offering on the nature of God. Not, hey, don't you understand, not just that we understand doctrinally that we have His nature, we're going to feed on it by taking His words into us, by experiencing Jesus as alive. Not, hey, not doctrine. Now hear this. I do not want you leaving here thinking that I told you doctrinally Jesus is alive in you. I want you to start groping with it and grappling with it and struggling to receive it in your spirit. You know, oh God, show it to me. Jesus Christ is alive, living in you. That isn't doctrine, that's fact. I mean, I'm not teaching this for some, you know, ethereal, theological ivory tower thinking. Jesus is alive in you. He lives in you. The living God is in you. Because He's all this to us. Because He has cleansed this temple with His blood. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't do that. That's why the Holy Spirit couldn't live in those people in the Old Testament permanently. Their temple wasn't really clean. It was only covered with the blood of bulls and goats. But it wasn't paid. It wasn't dealt with yet. And so in the peace offering, we offer up the wave breast and the heave shoulder. And they were given back to the priest, just like God wants us to give back to Him, Jesus, our high priest, our breast and our shoulder. Oh, God, I give you my heart. And God, I ain't got any strength. Yeah, has anyone ever come up to you and said, you know what, you Christians, you're just using Jesus as a crutch. You're using Christianity as a crutch. You want to know what the answer is? You know what most of you say? Oh, no. Well, let me tell you how I feel about it. You bet. He's not only my crutches, He's my wheelchair, my back brace, my leg braces. I'm a cripple. I'm pitiful. There's nothing to me. He's everything for me. He is my life. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not ashamed to say I need Jesus for everything. When I try to run my life, guess what happens? A mess. When I let Jesus run my life, I have peace. And so now as our high priest, He bears our name on His heart and His shoulder like the wave offering and the heave offering. And beloved, if all that we've been talking about tonight is true, then Jesus says something to us. In John chapter 14, verse 27, and John chapter 16, verse 33, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives peace, give I unto you, but my peace. A peace that you can have when you've been laid off your job. A peace that you can have by trusting God when your child is in the hospital and dangerously ill. A peace that you can have when your marriage is in jeopardy, but you've turned the problem over to God. A peace that you've had when there's problems between you and your children, but you've turned it over to God. See, the world can have peace when there's money in the bank. But God offers a peace when there is no money in the bank. The world offers peace when your husband is taking good care of you. But God offers you peace when your husband divorced you. The world offers you peace when you get promoted. But God offers you peace when you didn't get the promotion. And if all this is true, then God says to you and to me right now, now let us draw near with a true heart. I've done it all. Parting shot, Psalms 40. Psalm verses 6 through 8. sacrifice and offering, you don't really desire that, Father. Look at that. Sacrifice and offering, you don't desire. My ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required. Now Jesus speaks and finishes it by saying, Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, your law is within my heart. God says, Jesus, this is of the Messiah, and the way we know it's of the Messiah is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. They quote it saying that this is about Jesus. The New Testament translates this for us and interprets this for us and says, Jesus fed on the words of the Father. They were in his heart as a human. And he says, it's written in the book, I came to do your will. There's the burnt offering. Because he says at the beginning, God, the real thing you want isn't all these animals. It's me to do your will to save the people. That's what it's really all about. Praise the living God. Now, I passed out to you this little sheet. And I really believe if you'll read this and look over it, keep it, you'll understand it. Here we have the offerings of the new covenant, what Jesus meant to all those offerings, and what it means to the Christian. Look at it, the sin offering. What does it mean as far as Jesus is concerned? Forgiveness for what I am, a sinner by nature. By becoming sin for me, he takes on my robe, my nature. So what does that do for me, the Christian? Crucified in Christ, identifying with him, becoming one with the sacrifice, he gives me his robe. Look at the trespass offering. Forgiveness for what I did or do, for my sins, either my thought or deed, by taking our sins on himself. So what does that do for the Christian? He repents and confesses by laying the sins on the head of my substitute. Okay? Those are mandatory. Look at the voluntary, the burnt offering. He gave himself completely to the Father for us. He died for God, the perfect Son, and did so in accomplishing Father's will. What does that mean to us? We present ourselves by yielding to his lordship. Then the meal offering. He always walked in obedience to Father and the law because he was always yielded to the Holy Spirit. He was anointed without measure, hence he was a real man. Unblemished human life. There was oil in and on that fine flour. No leaven, no honey. Result, he was the salt of the world. And we're the salt of the world when we let Jesus live his life through us by surrender. What does that mean to the Christian in his daily life? That Jesus was all that for us. That we can walk in the Spirit. The Spirit will produce obedience through the new nature that he gave us as we yield. It's a natural consequence of a Spirit-filled life. We become real men through his new life in us. Now, girls, when I say real men, that's the word mankind. You're included. So how does that fit the peace offering? Well, Jesus, God sees Jesus in the peace offering here as having perfect fellowship with Father as a result of his obedience. This obedience was the result of a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led walk. It was not the method of producing a Spirit-filled walk. You cannot grit your teeth and be determined to be obedient and produce a Spirit-filled walk. It's the opposite. A Spirit-filled walk, obedience is a natural consequence. As you're walking in the Spirit, obedience will be a byproduct. You don't grit your teeth to be obedient. That's legalism. That's the law. So look at the result of Jesus as our peace offering in this new covenant. Communion and fellowship with God. To know him and not just know about him. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me?